God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. I am God. I am your God. And I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I am with you and I am for you. I love you. See me in this place today. See my love for you. See the glory of my love for you in this place. And let go all bitterness. Let go all wrath and anger and clamor. Let go of it. It's blinding you. It's blinding you from my love for you. Let it go and see my love for you. Your life is big. Your life is impactful. Your life has been prearranged before the foundation of the earth. Good works have ordained you to walk in. Your life is communicating my love. Look, see, know, I am with you. I am for you. My love is in this place. My grace is in this place. I am with you. I am for you. See it. Know it. Let go. Let go. Let go the hurts. Let go the pains. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Love is in this place. Love is in this place. Love is in this place. Even as I have forgiven you, even as I have forgiven you, as you sense my love for you, even as, let those things go. So you can see clearly. See me clearly. See that love clearly. I'm for you. I'm with you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Go ahead and get started. You know, it's just great. David was sharing just about his brother going home to be with Jesus and being in the presence of God. I'll tell you, it just makes just the reality of heaven just that much more real when you realize, you know, and the Apostle Paul said, you know, it's just amazing that just the matter-of-fact attitude the Apostle Paul had about heaven, you know. He just knew. He knew that he knew. He wasn't wondering. He absolutely knew where he was going and said, you know, it's to depart and be with Christ is far better, and to be in the presence of God. I think one of the things, you know, as David's brother is there worshiping around the throne, I think there is, it's glorious, it's amazing, but I think one of the amazing things that we'll experience when we get to heaven is the sense of familiarity. You know, the scripture talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 about the different gifts of the Spirit, different administrations of the Spirit, different aspects of the Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. And you kind of know that too as you're living for God. You experience God in different dimensions and you get different things, but it's the same Spirit. And that's why you have that Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, to bear witness to truth. And you go, yep, this is right. Yep, this is God. And I think it's going to be exciting as you're in heaven. You know, even as he's in heaven, it's like, wow, this is amazing, but in a way, I've been here before. It's familiar. It's home, you know. And so we're just continuing to pray for David and his family, you know, but we also know that there is an amazing hope and rejoicing that they're experiencing right now that we have in Jesus, and we're so thankful for that. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in looking at Psalm chapter 61, and this is a psalm crying out to God in one of those stormy situations. In Psalm 61, the psalmist cries out, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Again, here's a heart cry. You know, as we go through the storms of life sometimes, and you know that word that in verse 2 says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you've been a shelter for me." And I've had kind of an interesting situation happen to me where I kind of experienced something like this only in real life. It was by coming on about 15 years ago now, when we were in Rice Lake just for a family vacation and a getaway. There was a storm that came through there. And I was in my car by myself heading, you know, toward the city at the time, and I could see this great big ugly storm coming. You know, you see storms, different kinds of storms, and you kind of size them up as to whether it's just kind of a friendly, you know, water, wet storm, or whether it's one of those dangerous, hazardous weather storms. And as I was just driving, I could see the blackness of these clouds, and they were just swirling in almost like unnatural directions and ways. And it was just like, oh, this is a bad, dangerous one. So I was just right in the middle of the highway, pulled off to the side, did a Y turn, and went back the other direction, you know, because I just didn't want to drive into this storm. And as I was driving, it was like, great, it's good to have, you know, the storm in my rearview mirror instead of looking out through my windshield. And as I was driving, I just realized this road I was on took this hook left. And as the road bended left, now the storm that was behind me was off to my left, and I could see it closing in. And this road went for, well, at least 5 miles in this direction. And I just wasn't able to, you know, outrun the storm by the time it hit. And so I'm listening to the radio at the same time as I'm driving, and sure enough, on the radio, it said, "Funnel cloud has been spotted," you know, right where I am. And they were giving the instructions, you know, to get out of your car, take shelter immediately. You're not safe in your car, you know, that kind of thing. And I remember just pulling, and I remember seeing, I pulled off to the side of the road, and there was these two buildings, and there was like this kind of iron pipe thing sticking out of the ground, but it was kind of in a U-shaped form, you know, both ends sticking in the ground, and it was just cemented in there. And so I thought, well, you know, just in my mind, I thought, oh, I just want to stay in my nice, warm, cozy, dry car, you know, and you know, but I just realized that it was a false sense of security because a funnel cloud had been spotted. And so I remember just getting out of my car in the middle of the rain, and it was like cold, hard, pelting rain. I mean, it hurt. It was that, you know, when it was beating on me. But it was a very little run. I mean, I had to just run over between the two buildings, you know, where I got some basic shelter from that pelting from the side. But then I just remember just grabbing onto that bar, you know, as hard as I could, because I knew that that bar would be secure if I could hold onto that bar. That wasn't going to move anywhere because I could see it was cemented in. And so as the rain and the storms are going, it was just amazing how loud and eerie that was. And you're just hearing things going on, and it's cold. And all of a sudden, you know, and I know that the storm itself, what I was enduring was probably only 5 to 10 minutes, but it seemed like a long, long time, because you got so many things going through your mind, because you're hearing things. I'm hearing trees crack. I'm hearing metal banging against metal. And I'm just thinking, man, I wonder what that is. You know, you kind of got these sounds of a storm. But all I'm doing is I'm just grasping onto that thing. I just remember, too, just in my heart, getting my heart right before God. Father God, I just, forgive me of anything. You know, I just want my heart clear and clean. And, you know, it's like you just, you could sense this, you know, this danger. And so it was really just a very much of a humbling yourself in that moment before the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it's just like right in the middle of it, it was just like the temperature just warmed up like 30 degrees. It was just like extreme cold to extreme warm and humidity. And I was like, whoa. You know, and as soon as I felt that, and it started to begin to get lighter. It was just like more light came in that was getting brighter and warmer. And it was like, oh, praise God. The storm, I can tell the storm had passed. And when I got up from that place and looked out, I could see down the street, there were trees and debris all over the place. And actually what had happened, there was a funnel cloud, and it was over there, and it did damage, but it never actually touched the ground. It was just kind of hovering. And so I got in my car, and, you know, I was having to kind of zigzag around some of the debris, and then we got back to the resort. I couldn't even get in because the trees had blocked off, the fallen trees. We had some trees that just about hit the cabin we were in. You know, it was just falling the other way. And so it was one of those really, you know, intense storms in the natural. And I just remember seeing and realizing, you know, when that hit, there wasn't much I could do. The only thing that I could do at that moment was hold on to the pipe. That's the one thing I could control, was my grip on that pipe at that moment. And as I again look at this psalm, and as I read this psalm now, you know, there's kind of a natural, you know, understanding that I have about being in storms and riding out a storm. And, you know, when you kind of see that on TV where you see the storm chases and the tornadoes and all that kind of stuff, man, it almost looks like it'd be kind of fun to do that. But it is dangerous. It is not something to be played with or toyed with. It is, you know, those forces of nature are very real. But at the same time, you know, you realize that there's things that I could do, things that I could, to help and protect myself. And as you're going through storms, you know, whether not really so much the natural physical storms, but through the storms of life, there are so many things that similarly you can't control. You know, you can't control people. You can't always control favor and finances and different things like that. There's stuff that you're going through and storms of life that you're going through. And, you know, you've maybe heard the old adage, there's things you can't control and there's things you can control. And this morning, as we're talking about kind of coming through storms and going through those windy places of life where you feel helpless sometimes and you feel overwhelmed, we're going to take a closer look specifically at controlling what you can control. Okay? So if you're going through something, if you're going through a storm of life, whether it's a relationship storm or a financial storm or, you know, a health storm, different things like that, we're going to look specifically at, okay, I know I can't control everything here, but there are some things you absolutely can control in the midst of the storm that God has given us. And I love what he has said, you know, you lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And for me, that pipe was the rock that was higher than I. That pipe had a stability about it that I just couldn't do in my own strength, whether it was in my car or in my physical posture. That pipe gave me a stability, something that I could hold on to through the storm. And God has a rock that is higher than I that we can go to and find stability and strength as we're coming through these storms. And so controlling what you can control. All right. So the first thing that we want to look at in terms of controlling what you can control in the midst of the storms is you can control your authority. You can control your authority. What do I mean by control your authority? There are a lot of things that are going on. Like I said, when I was in the middle of that storm, there was a lot of things you're hearing and a lot of distractions, a lot of cause for fear that's going on around you in the middle of a storm. But at the same time, you know, in the middle of a storm, there is a rock that is higher than I. There is an authority. There is a voice in the midst of the storm that will give you a sense of stability and strength. And we have an authority. Each one of us have an authority in the midst of any storm that we're in. And here is a storm Jesus went through. And Jesus showed us his authority in the midst of his storm. He was in the desert, having fasted 40 days, and he was in a storm of a demonic attack. And it says, now when the tempter came to him, he came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus said, there is a higher authority. There are things going on in my head. There is an attack going on in my head, but it is written. The rock that is higher than I, one of the stabilizing forces, one of the things that we can control is we can control to choose the authority in our life in the midst of those storms. What words are going to have authority in our life? The words of fear, people's opinions and circumstances, your feelings, or the Word of God. We can say, no, it is written. And this is what the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that is something that I can settle in my heart in the midst of my storm. I am choosing the authority. The things that are going to have hold and control of my heart is going to be the Word of God. We're coming, we're obviously in tennis season, and we're getting ready for the U.S. Open here in a few weeks, I guess. And I remember it was several years back. I was really into tennis. I kind of get streaky with tennis. I kind of enjoy, staying up with who's who and things that are going on. And it was several years back. I was really interested in, my tennis player at the time to see if he happened to win because I missed the match. And so I, went online and checked it out, and I saw, yep, he won. And I think it was like the first set, I saw that he won 6-4. And, as I was kind of flipping through, there was like a tennis channel, and they did a replay of that match. I thought, oh, good. I missed it. I know he won, but it'd still be kind of fun to watch it. And so I just so happened to turn it on where he was in the first set, and it was 4-4 in that first set. And I, again, looked at my scorecard, and I saw that he won that one six games to four. And I thought, oh, it'd be just kind of fun to watch him play it out, even though I know it's going to happen, even though I know it's a replay. And they're tied 4-4, and they're going into that next game, and lo and behold, it goes to deuce. And deuce just means that it's tied. The score is tied in tennis. And in tennis, you got to win by 2 points. So if you score a point, but then the opponent scores a point, then you go back to deuce. Until you score 2 points in a row, you don't win the game. And so they were at deuce. Somebody had to score 2 points in a row to win the game. And so as I'm watching it, I'm watching him, and I think he got the first advantage, and I thought, all right, it's going to put him away. But he didn't put him away. And the guy won the point. It was back to deuce. And then the guy won the next point. And when you win a point, it's your advantage. And so the advantage went to the other guy. And I thought, oh, I know what's going to happen. My guy's going to break him back. And, and he, sure enough, he did it and won him back. But then he lost the advantage again. And it was an amazing, as he was losing that advantage, I was kind of waiting for him to kind of, break back and make it even again. And this guy made an amazing shot. And I thought, how is he going to get that? And just lo and behold, he made the shot and brought it back. And it was like, I was like nervous as I'm watching this. And I'm finding myself really getting in it. This game went into 8 deuces. And I'm just like, by the 8th deuce, I'm just like, whoa. And I'm kind of looking back at this and I'm thinking, is it the right date? Are these the right guys? It just didn't seem possible. I'm getting worked up here. And lo and behold, the guy just did it, and he won it like in the 9th round. Thought, wow, that's an amazing thing. Finally, the score. I found out the scorecard was right. But I'll tell you what, the Lord kind of spoke to me from that little scenario, because a lot of times that's really the way it is in life. There's a lot of drama in life, but at the end of the day, the scorecard is right. The scorecard is right. What God has said, it is written. That's my authority. That's my authority in life. I can't control all the ricochets of life, but I can control what my authority is, what my scorecard is as I'm going through life, as I'm going through a storm. You know, the scorecard says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I may be in a storm, but I know one thing for sure. I don't have to give up. I don't have to quit. I don't have to let my heart be overwhelmed because I have a strength in Christ. I might feel like and seem like I'm at the end of myself in this storm, but I do have strength that's beyond my natural strength, that's beyond my ability. My authority is the Word of God, and the Word of God says, it is written, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I have strength for this storm. I can get through this storm, no matter what, whether it's a storm of somebody else or a storm of my own making. I can get through this storm through Christ who strengthens me. I know one thing else too about the score being in. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're singing about that this morning. I know one thing about this storm. It can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. The scorecard says so. Again, life gets dramatic, and it can feel like, wow, I don't feel God. I don't feel his presence. I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel. Well, I can't control how I feel, but I can control the authority in my life. I can control that like Jesus controlled it and say, it is written. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. Regardless of what I'm feeling right now, I choose the authority of his word, and I choose the authority of faith that he has given me in his word to believe that this storm cannot and will not separate me from that love. I love, you know, Hebrews, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I choose that. I'm able to say, I'm holding on to that truth, that this thing cannot separate. You know, when you're in that storm physically, and I was there in Rice Lake, and I'm holding on to that pipe, and it's giving me, you know, some strength and stability, you're not feeling warm and goosebumpy, you know, you're just holding on. All right? So I'm talking about in the context of a storm. If you're probing for a feeling when you're doing this and not getting the feeling you expect and coming to the conclusion that it doesn't work, that's not faith. Faith says in the middle of not having the good feeling, Father, I choose to believe. Again, even if the storm is of your own making, where my sin has abounded, his grace is much more abounded. It's not even close here. It's not even close. There's mercy for that. There's grace to help for that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's authority in his word, and I'm choosing that authority of his word, and I'm holding on to that authority of his word in the name of Jesus. You know, the age, the world we're living in, you know, times are changing, things are changing, nations are changing. You can feel it in the air, the change that's going on. You can feel the fight and the back and forth between the spirit of the world and the church and the persecution of the church and the world and different things like that. And again, it can be a ping pong and a back and forth, and you may be wondering who's going to win this next deuce. But again, thank God for the scorecard. Jesus answered and said, this is Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven, and I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. It. The gates of hell will not. This is the score. It's already been written. You got to remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega. You know, I'm watching that, and it's a replay, and I'm still emotionally getting engaged in it, even though I saw the score. Well, you got to realize our life right now, for God, who's the Omega, this is a rerun for him. I mean, it's not a rerun for us. This is very much pure present time things that we're going through. But the scorecard's been written. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that can bring me great comfort. You know, I could watch that game with a confidence knowing the scorecard is right. Or I could get worked up over every little point even though I've got the scorecard in my hand. You know, as you're watching things unfolding and the news or whatever, things like that, you got a choice of how you can watch this thing. You can watch this thing and wondering, getting worked up, who's going to win? No, I know who's going to win. I'm choosing the authority in my life. I'm choosing the authority of the Word of God to have hold and sway in my life. And that will help you to pray. You know, the scripture says, be anxious for nothing but everything through prayer. Father God, I know one thing, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I pray for the church, and I pray for people in this nation. I pray, Father God, for this nation to rise up and to be who you want us to be, and to be a victorious nation in you. Pray for those who are in authority, that we may have peace in our world, that the gospel may go forward in this earth. Praise God. The scorecard has been written, and my authority is something that I can control, and that is the Word of God. Another thing that I can control is I can control not only the authority in my life, but I can control my altitude. I can control my altitude. Let me go ahead and just give you a scripture real quick here. The scripture says in Colossians, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here's one more. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What are you doing? You're controlling your altitude. I'm going to set my mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not on things on the earth. The storm is on the earth. The storm is not in heaven. I can begin to control my altitude and set my mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Great minister Mark Hankins was actually invited to be part of a hot air balloon competition with a guy that he knew. It was actually a guy from his church. And he relates the story like this. He said, you know, so it's like a hot air balloon race, okay? He said, not long after we took off, he told me that we had absolutely no control over the direction of the hot air balloon. He said the only thing we had control over was the altitude of the balloon. We noticed that all of the balloons were at 1,000 feet, that all the balloons at 1,000 feet were headed south. The problem with that, however, was that the target was on the north side of Albuquerque. The man I was riding with pointed out that the balloons that had made it to 3,500 feet were heading north. There was a different wind blowing at 3,500 feet, causing the balloons to go a different direction. So we climbed to 3,500 feet and gradually made our way to the target. The only thing we could control was the altitude. By adjusting that, we made it to our destination. Then he gives a good little exhortation here. I just want to go ahead and read it because it really kind of captures the heart of where we're going. He's saying, you know, move up higher, another wind is blowing. This experience reminds me of people following Jesus and obeying God. Many times you see everyone heading south, and you think this is just the way life is. However, if you want to go a different direction and get on the target that God has for you, you're going to have to rise up in the Spirit, rise up in the reality of your redemption, and rise up in faith. If you're living by your feelings and circumstances, you'll be flying right at 1,000 feet. You'll be headed south. But if you rise up in the Spirit, there's another wind blowing that'll take you to the divine destiny God has for you. This is why we just can't look around. There is a rising up in the Spirit. I can control my altitude. I don't control the winds, but I can control my altitude. And I can move up higher. Have you just experienced that? I mean, even in praise and worship this morning, you begin to come up higher. You come up in the Spirit. You come up in faith. You get built up in faith. And you sense it just takes you up to a place. You're still the same you, but you're not afraid anymore. You have confidence that you didn't have before. because you've come up higher. You've set your mind on things above where Christ is. That's the thing I can control in any storm. I can come up higher and I can look up and I can begin to look up where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And I love so much that promise of the psalm, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. I'll tell you, sometimes that's all you can do. I'm just setting my love upon him. Just setting my love. I don't know my next move, you know, in the natural, but I know my next move in the spirit. I'm setting my love on him. And when that happens, I'm coming up. I'm coming up, praise God. And what happens, you know, he kind of talks about it as altitude, you know, at 1,000 feet and the 3,500 feet and different winds blowing. Sometimes, you know, our heart cry to God is, oh, Lord, help me, show me. I want to do what you want me to do. But the problem is, he's speaking for you to do what to do at that 3,500 foot level. In other words, while I'm down here, I don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Remember Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God is talking. We got to go up to where we can hear what he's saying. And when you're clouded, your eyes, your mind, like we're talking about even this morning, when if it's clouded with bitterness, if it's clouded with cares, if it's clouded with the things of the earth, it's not that God isn't speaking or doesn't talk. It's just that you can't hear it. And so the purpose of this, you know, setting your love on him or setting your mind on things above, it's not just kind of a religious exercise. It's part of tuning your heart to heaven. So as you're doing this in faith again, these are things you do by faith. As you're just doing it by faith, as you're getting into the word by faith, as you're just worshiping, getting in there by faith, something is happening. There is a rising up. And I love that the scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That word will put something in you as you're setting your mind on things above that you didn't have in you before. And you'll hear, you'll begin to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And all of a sudden you have thoughts. What does it sound like when God speaks to you then? It's not like writing in the sky or, you know, something really dramatic, or literally what it is you begin to, you know, control your altitude, set your mind on things above, you pursue him, all of a sudden you begin to be aware of thoughts that come to your mind that are not thoughts you thought up, and you realize that it's the impressions of the Spirit of God speaking back to you, speaking back to your heart. And that's the thing, again, things we can control in the middle of the storm. I can control my altitude. I can begin to set my mind on things above where Christ is. It's not only setting your mind, but it's getting your mind and your heart uncluttered from those things of the earth, not letting that storm intimidate you. Romans 8 puts it this way, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, you could say, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. What happens when we get spiritually minded? Do I get answers to all my questions? No, but I get something. I get life and peace. You get peace. That's the first thing you'll notice when you control your altitude. You will sense a peace. Because as you're coming up, there are things that are coming off. You realize if I'm going to come up to that level, I'm going to have to be honest with God. I can't play games. I can't hold on to things. I'm just going to have to come clear in my heart. Clear. Why? Because those things are like what the scripture calls weights and sins. They're holding me down. And I'm beginning to cast cares and just get rid of stuff so I can come up higher. To be candid, to be transparent, to not be hiding anything from God. And that's just something that happens. You're really, when we say setting your mind on things above, it's really just on purpose. Renewing that personal walk with Jesus and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. My frustrations, my why God questions, here they are. Here I am, but I'm transparent and you're God and I love you. I'm just getting rid of the heavy stuff to where there's nothing left but me and you, and I'm hoping and my heart is open and I'm ready to hear what you have to say. It's really a humbling of yourself that causes you to go up. And that's, again, something, praise God, that happens between you and the Lord in the privacy of your own secret place time. But he wants that, doesn't he? That's why he said, you know, don't be like the hypocrites who get awarded for their street corner praying. You go into the secret place. Shut your door. Just you and the Father. You begin to talk things out. It'll lighten your load. It'll elevate you. You begin to hear what the Spirit is saying as it's blowing in those higher places. Those things on earth are the things that will weigh us down. I'm not being irresponsible. In fact, as I'm going on my way up, I'm acknowledging those things on the earth. I might just say, God, forgive me for that. I receive your forgiveness, or I've let go and I forgive other people, whatever I do. I'm just getting my heart clear before you, Father God. Just clear that other wind that's blowing. I love the thing that Isaiah said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Kind of like what the Apostle Paul was saying in Philippians. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm maintaining an equilibrium of peace. And there's adjustments that you got to make along the way. You know, I've heard it put this way too, like somebody's driving or flying in an airplane. You can't just, you know, set it on autopilot without making adjustments for counter crosswinds and things that are going. You know, even if you've got it on autopilot, you know, or you got it something that can fly it, you got the coordinates set, but you're still having to make those adjustments for things that are going on. And even as you're doing this and you're setting your mind on things above, it doesn't stop the storm, okay? It'd be great if it did, but it doesn't stop the storm. There's still going to be winds blowing. There's still going to be counter things that you're dealing with, and you're continually making adjustments and keeping your heart and staying in a place of fellowship and trust with God. Not letting fear bring you down, but in all your ways, acknowledging him and being anxious for nothing, but saying prayer, Father, help me. Help me to see, help me to know what to do. Staying at that place of altitude, keeping my heart in that right place with God at all times. So finally, not only do we control our altitude, but you can control your attitude. Control your attitude. So I know what my authority is in this storm. My authority is the word of God. It is written, has more authority than the other voices and the sounds of that storm that's going on. I can control my altitude. I can begin to set my mind purposefully on things above and begin to fellowship with God. When I say control my altitude, set my mind on things above, I'm really talking about getting my heart clear with God and making sure that my heart is right with God. And sometimes you don't always know that. You don't even know your own heart because it can be clouded. Sometimes you think it's just this one thing. I just know that one thing. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get that one thing right. Oh, then you can say, yeah, okay, I've been. And it's a beautiful thing. And as you're fellowshipping with God, it's like clearing out that junk drawer. It's like, okay, it's empty. And now, Lord, you're going to show me how to put what back in the right place, in the right way. But the confusion is gone. My heart is clear before you. I'm up there. Now I have ears to hear. Say what you want to say to me, Lord. Finally, though, you can control your attitude. And this is a big thing, too, especially as those storms of life are coming in. This is a little story about a guy you may have heard of named Viktor Frankl. Viktor was a Jew in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. He lived in a flea-infested and diseased area. He was constantly badgered, harassed, and beaten, and made to carry burdens. Viktor said in this Nazi concentration camp, he could tell when a person was getting ready to give up and die. He could look into the eyes of those around him and see when their attitudes began to change. He could also see it in their posture as they walked, when hopelessness had taken over their life. Although physically they could have survived and lived longer, mentally they had broken down. Viktor said he could tell when they were ready to lay down, stop eating, give up, and die. He said he could see it in their attitude. Viktor Frankl determined that there was one thing the Nazis could not control in his life. They could not control his attitude. He said, "The last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless the circumstances." In other words, he couldn't control everything, but he could control himself and his attitude. I love that. The last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless of the circumstances. When you're in those places, when you are choosing the authority of the word, you're choosing your altitude. Again, it would be great if all of a sudden you just felt warm goosebumps and the sky lit up and that which is automatically like that. A lot of times it isn't. This is faith. And there's an attitude that you have in your believing. And that's the one thing that I can choose to control. I can choose to control my attitude. Psalm 34 puts it this way. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around, all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I love that psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And, you know, it's just like that story of Viktor Frankl. One of the things that I'm going to choose to control is my attitude. In other words, I'm going to choose not only to believe, not only my faith, but I'm going to choose to bless the Lord. I'm going to choose to bless him. I'm going to choose to rejoice in him. And this is really what this scripture is talking about too, that we read a lot in James. The connection here. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What is this? In other words, there is an on-purpose counting it all joy. I'm believing the best. I am seeing things working out. I'm seeing my strength is in God. My hope is in God. What is this? I'm choosing my attitude. I can know my authority. I can set my altitude, but I'm not going to just have the right answer and do the right thing. I'm going to have an attitude about the way I do it. I'm going to do it with faith. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with trust. In other words, I'm going to believe, I receive, and I have it. There's a faith. There's a faith. There's a rejoicing in faith. There's a rejoicing in faith. Not only am I not probing for a feeling when I'm trying to obey God's word, not only am I not trying to probe for a feeling when I'm choosing the authority of God's word, I'm not probing for a feeling when I'm setting my mind on things above, but I am invoking a feeling of joy in the face of situations. I'm saying, the Lord is my God. I count it all joy. Lord, you've been faithful to me. You might have to do what the psalmist of old did, remembering and recounting the faithfulness that God has already had in your life. Has God blessed you yet? Has he ever delivered you before? Has he ever helped you? Has he ever strengthened you? Boy, sometimes you got to stir yourself up. Say, God, you are good. Jesus, you died on that cross for my sins. I have a relationship with you because you so loved me and gave yourself for me. Lord, you've delivered me here and here and here. You've been faithful to me. Oh, God, I'm counting it all joy. I'm worshiping you in the face of situations. Of course, the great story of the Apostle Paul, him and Silas are bound in chains for preaching the gospel. You know, you'd think if you got any why God questions, there it would be. God told him to go to Macedonia. He did what God told him to do, and he got whipped, beaten, put in chains, fastened in the inner stocks of the prison. And what did they do at that midnight hour? It says they began to worship God. So that all the prisoners heard it. It wasn't like, oh, poor Paul, he's in chains and stock. Yeah, that's right, it's unjust, it's wrong. But here, Paul, he's got an attitude. He's counting it all joy. I'm worshiping God. You know what? You're encouraging yourself in the Lord. That's choosing your attitude. I'm going to have an attitude of faith, because you realize you're dealing the flesh, the world, and the devil. And that's not just about doing the right things. I'm going through this storm with an attitude of faith, with an attitude of rejoicing, knowing that my God is going to take care of me. My God is with me. My God is for me. And rejoicing in worship is one of the powerful ways to keep your attitude of faith in check. I remember hearing another story about a guy. They were flying, and you know, as the story goes, they had some snakes in their plane, and the snakes somehow got loose in the plane. And the guy, I don't know if it was the biologist or the zoologist or whatever he was, he said he was reacting quick, and he said, you know, hurry up. He said, you know, fly up another X number of feet because of the certain pressure or something about that. He said, those snakes can't live up there.
you know? And so it was like a deal where they were able to bring the plane to a certain altitude and apparently the snakes couldn't live up there. Going up higher, coming up higher. I'll tell you, when you're feeling and you're dealing with the feeling stuff and you go up higher, the fear can't live up there. The hatred can't live up there. The anxiety can't live up there. And there's an attitude of faith. There's an attitude of faith. Praise God, where my trust is in God. And there's a hope, and it's in your face, and it's in your heart, and it's in your eyes. I'm going to make it through this storm, praise God. I'm not alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me, Lord. Begin to worship, begin to praise, begin to see that. I love this song. I don't know if for those of you who might have seen the old Singing in the Rain movie, Gene Kelly with his umbrella and doing that famous sequence. I just kind of revisit that song, but it kind of captures the heart of what we're talking about. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds, so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready to love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain. I have a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing in the rain. It's a picture of somebody controlling their attitude in the middle of a storm. Why? Because my God is real. He is big enough. He is strong enough. He is greater than he that is in this world. And I'm believing it. What am I doing? That's my faith. I'm demonstrating to God, I believe him. I believe his word is true. I believe I really can do all things through Christ Jesus. I am hoping all things. I'm bearing all things. I'm believing all things. I'm choosing my attitude in the middle of the storm to have an attitude of faith, to have an attitude of trust, because that storm will pass. And it is a glorious thing when you're able to get through a storm, because I've went through a lot of storms. You've went through a lot of storms. I've weathered them in different ways through the years. But it's a glorious thing when you weather a storm with just an attitude of faith. Praise God. I'll tell you, it produces hope. It produces strength. It produces a something in you that's like, come on with the rain. I have a smile on my face. That's kind of the way the Apostle Paul was. You know, he went through all this. The messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. What does buffet mean? It means to strike with repeated blows. And he kind of lists those blows in 2 Corinthians 11. He was going through stuff. And he said, Father, could you just remove this thing? And what did the Lord say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. His attitude was kind of getting cranky and all the junk he had to go through. He said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul goes, wow, all right. Well, then I'm going to rejoice in persecutions. I'm going to rejoice in afflictions. I'm going to rejoice in these things that are going on. Because when it's at my worst, the power of God is resting on me and strengthening me and giving me grace. Paul began to sing in the rain. He began to have an attitude change where the grace of God was good enough. Praise God. That's the thing he could control. He could control his attitude and knowing that the grace of God was sufficient for him. Praise God. You're not in control of the timing of the storm or the duration of the storm, but I can be controlling some things in the midst of the storm. Praise God. There is a control that I can have in deciding what my authority is going to be in the middle of the storm. What has my ear in the middle of the storm? Who says this? What says that? Or it is written. The scorecard's already been printed. It's already been made. These are the promises of God. And I can say, yeah, in the middle of the storm, these are my promises. This is what I can go to. The Omega has written these things by the power of his Spirit. This, from his perspective, from the Omega perspective, this is a replay. And I can know, and I can watch with the same confidence that I saw the replay of that tennis match and know that things are turning out the way the Word of God says they'll turn out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This thing cannot separate me from the love that God has for me. Where my sins abounded, his grace is so much more abounded, it's not even close. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It won't happen. It is written. That's my authority. Controlling my altitude, going up higher, setting my mind on things above, just getting my heart clear before God from the heavy things that bring me down to that 1,000-foot circumstance level that everybody's flowing in. No, I'm going to get some stuff off. I'm coming up where the Holy Spirit wind is blowing, and I'm going to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I'm just doing that by faith. Praise God. And as I'm doing it with an attitude of joy, an attitude of trust, an attitude that I believe, that I receive, that God is faithful to his promise. I'm doing it rejoicing by faith in the Lord, knowing, praise God, that he is able to, you know, I trust that what I've committed to him, he's able to keep against that day. Or whatever it is that I'm trusting, I am fully persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. My trust is in him. These things are true. Spiritual things are real. His word is true. Praise God, and we can rejoice in it. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the things that you've given us, Lord. Like, we know we can't control everything, but there are things we can control. And we just thank you, Lord, for these powerful things, these precious things that we absolutely can control. They're things that don't look all spectacular on the outside, but boy, are they powerful on the inside. These are the things that are the rock that is higher than I. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the things that I can control. No matter what the storm is, if it's of my own making or somebody else's making, I can control the authority of my life. My authority is the Word of God, the promises of God. They are yes and amen. And they are that to me. They are that in this storm. Your Word, it is written, is the authority of my life. The scorecard has been printed. I look at that card. I look away from the drama of life. And I look to your word, your authority. I control my altitude. I set my mind on things above. As I'm going up, things have to come off. Fear, anxiety, turned into prayer requests. Why God questions, turned into prayer requests. Forgiveness, even as you've forgiven me. I want my heart transparent, nothing hidden from you. You can see it anyway. Help me to know that in my heart. I control my attitude. I'll count it all joy by faith, knowing something's working in me. There's a spiritual fiber that's getting worked in me. A stability, a steadiness, as I trust you, as I worship you, as I bless you at all times. I will sing in the rain, trusting in who you are, knowing that your word is true. And you really love me. Thank you, Jesus, for the things I can control in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.